Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Tom Skilling is joining us right now, and we're so happy you're joining us. Tom, I understand the discussion in the weather department right now. You took a little break from the weather, and you're talking about the sports situation in town. What's going on?
I'll tell you something. Talk about the blind leading the blind, on that subject. I'm kind of like Bob Collins. I remember Bob always, deferring to the sports guys in terms of the knowledge. And people loved him for being so honest about it. I'm kind of in the same. I'm surrounded by people who know a heck of a lot more than I do about it, Anna.
Thoughts, Tom. What are your thoughts? Are you as miserable and upset about our Bears as everybody else? I am. It's very deflating.
Yeah. We were just talking about coaching, and what a horrible profession that is. You can't get out there and throw the ball or hit the baseball or anything like that. You've got to depend on your players. And while I'm sure the coaches have some say on who's brought in, to some extent, their fate is in the hands of their players. And it must be hard week after week to get up and try and talk after one of these games. And the players, they face a mountain too. You never know how the team coming in is going to play and all the rest. So, and I have great sympathy. I remember Lee Elia going off, and I remember Eddie Schwartz putting that little verbal exchange on the air, and he asked his listeners at the time, he was doing the all-night show, to count the number of obscenities that were bleeped out during it. It was kind of like a game, and I think the total was like 38 or something in a minute and 15 seconds or something. But, I've subsequently talked to Lee Elia. He's a very nice man. Uh-huh. This was a man pushed to the edge, by the situation he was in, and I felt bad for him because he couldn't catch, a break. But he finally just said the heck with it and let loose. And, in a way, I remember there was an article in the New York Times about getting mad. We've always been told keep your anger under your hood and all the rest. And they were saying in this article involving a bunch of psychiatrists that maybe it's better to let off a little steam at times, providing you're not hurting anybody. We're like pressure cookers, and we kind of pop the lid enough to let a little of the pressure off. That must be what these coaches do to get by. I think they're superhuman, a lot of them, even though people freely criticize
It's
them,
true, so. Tom. I feel a bit sorry because of the barrage of questions that go after a loss. And the only thing in their minds at that moment is, I wish we didn't lose. Like, darn it. They just want to have that moment. And instead, they have to be poised and professional. And sometimes they're not. They go off on rants because they're human and they're feeling it. And that's the way it is.
I think
the other thing that's so tough about Chicago is Chicagoans as sports fans. I don't know if you've noticed this. We're super passionate, right? And I will say, and you work in a newsroom. You work in a newsroom. I would say, having worked in a newsroom for a big portion of my career, people will question things in the news. They'll question things in the weather, but they will get mad and angry and so upset about things in sports. I mean, even giving the White Sox 5 seconds less highlight coverage over the Cubs will draw like major, major angry emails, and people will go nuts.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're invested in our teams, and it's a very emotional thing. And I think, too, people look at the salaries that are paid. What was there? There was like a baseball player that's just hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, nobody can conceive of that. You kind of figure as a fan sometimes that maybe people ought to be able to walk on water if you're paid that kind of money. And so maybe that brings it to a head. More easily. But, I think it's just the nature of the beast. We get invested in our teams and we want them to win. So
it's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we are, Tom. All right, let's switch gears here because we're not going to solve the problems of sports. We're just not. We're not. But you can. You can provide major, major insights into our weather situation. And so I'd love to hear. I'm hearing a warm-up is in the forecast.
Yeah, tomorrow. if we can break this darn Stratus deck up, and that's a devil in December. December is by its nature our cloudiest month. In an average December, we get 41% of our possible sun. That means we get nearly 60% of the days that have no sun. So by its very nature, this is a cloudy month. And when you get an overcast like this, it's pretty hard in these cool temperatures to whisk it out of here if you don't have a good dry wind blowing in here at some level of the atmosphere, and preferably down here closer to the surface. That, we hope, will happen tomorrow. We hope we bring some Pacific air in. It warmed the Plain States up into the 60s yesterday. Here, we may get up to 50 tomorrow, which will be something to celebrate. The winds start turning lightly off the lake Thursday and Friday, but we still ought to get some sun in here on Thursday. It's Friday, Saturday night, and early Sunday that get kind of interesting. There's a storm system that may wrap up downstate. The models have been tracking this thing farther and farther south, and one tends to believe it now because they're all singing the same tune. And so this could begin as a rain on Friday night, go into Saturday, and then the northeast winds will start picking up. That comes off 40-degree lake water, so that ought to make it harder to change the rain over to snow near the lake, at least to start with. But I think we may all end up doing that either later Saturday or Saturday night. And if you're up in the northwest suburbs, McHenry, Boone, Winnebago counties, out west, out toward the Fox Valley, the switchover may come sooner to snow. But ultimately, it'll depend on the track of this thing, Anna. We have several days to watch this thing, and it could be sticking snow for parts of the area over the weekend. And yet, you know what's interesting? If you look out over the next 2 weeks, despite the fact we've got potential for snow part of the weekend over part of the area at least, we're still going to stay above normal on temperatures, which is living proof you can get a snow even with an above normal temperature. No reason to write. That's why when we say the winter may wind up at or a little above normal, doesn't mean you can't get snow. Just like in, you know, with the planet warming, people seem surprised it snows in with climate change underway. Hey, it snows and it can get cold. It just does that over less area, that's all, and with time.
I want to ask you, hey, Tom, shouldn't we have a little more snow by now? It just feels that way. I don't know.
Yes, we're running behind normal. In fact, we've had less than half the average amount of snow. So, yeah, we are running behind normal. We're also running behind many of the last years. I was looking at the U.S. snow cover, and we have really detailed records for 17 years. Only three of those years have had less snow across the United States, the lower 48, than has been the case in any of those other 17 years. And we are definitely running below normal on snow here in Chicago. Now, it takes one storm to kick you over the top. It doesn't take much to change that, but for the moment, Anna, you read the situation right on.
Tom Skilling here with us this afternoon, and we're sure happy he is. Hey, Tom, you know, the number one most read story in the Chicago Tribune as of this morning is what we need right now is a good, comforting bowl of soup. And they go through the best Chicago soups across all 13 styles. They've got everything from tortilla soup. They've got one that I like and have made. It's the lemon chicken. It's a Greek. It's called avgolemono, but it's that's what it is. And they go through all pozole, all different types of them. Where's the best place to get them in the city? It is an awesome, awesome story. And it just makes me think about this, that this is that weather. This is that weather. You got a favorite soup, Tom?
It isn't soup. Soup is a joy. I agree with you, Anna. I love soup. And in fact, it's one of the first things I look at on the menu when I go into a restaurant. Of course, we're not going into restaurants in numbers that we used to, which is really sad for our restaurants. But I'll tell you something. We can pick it up. And there's something about soup that is very comforting. I remember my mother making split pea soup, and then my father would bake turkey, vegetable, and chicken noodle soup. And, it's great. And I love Manhattan-style clam chowder. Do you like that?
Love it. I just picked up the cream version from Shaw's the other day.
I just
love clam chowder. You're right. This weather, I crave the clam chowder.
It's so good. It warms you up, and it's so satisfying. I agree. I'm not surprised that the lead story. Not at all.
Most read Tribune this morning. Matzo ball. They've got the chicken noodle, ramen soup. Ooh. So popular. Oh. I do feel like soup at this time of year. I'd like to make soup. It is very labor intensive. That's one thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It takes a real knack. I have a roommate here who loves to tinker in the kitchen. I'll be sitting here in the weather den next to the kitchen, and I'll hear this clinking and clacking, and all of a sudden the air smells fills with these wonderful smells. And I know that Sean Lewis, who works with me at WGN, too, Sean tinkers in the kitchen. He doesn't just tinker. He creates wonderful meals. And I love, you know, since the surgery, I smell them now. So I get as much satisfaction out of just smelling it as eating it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, soup is great.
You're limiting your portion sizes these days, right? How's your health going,
yeah.
Tom? Give us an update.
It's going great.
Yeah.
And I've reached new lows on the way. I'm happy. I'll tell you, we've talked about it before, and I won't go into it in great depth, but I'm telling you something. This has been a sea change for me, and it's wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you for asking,
Bill. I'm so happy. We're all so happy. I mean, and you shared your story, and I feel like it's helped so many people, too. So you can go on WGN TV and check it out. It's still there. Hey, Tom, I do want to ask you about the temperatures dropping. Now, we're a little warmer than usual, you said, but we do expect them to drop. When's the earliest in the season that Chicago has dropped below zero? Remind us when that is.
Oh, my gosh. That was back in, we came up with the date on that. It was back in November. I don't have the exact date in front of me. Yeah, we talked about that the other day. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know,
I think I'm looking it up here because it was the weather question of the day, and it says your answer, dear Marjorie, you were answering somebody who had asked you this question, and you said November 23rd, 1950, it was below zero. That was the earliest sub-zero, 1950.
And by the way, Anna, I have incredible help on that on my columns with Steve Kahn and Rich Koneman. So this is a This is quite a group effort over there in producing these columns. There's just so much going on in this weather office. You can only do so much all by yourself. But isn't that amazing? The
November
stats are incredible. We work with, you know, what's incredible about getting a sub-zero day that early, you really, as a requirement, need a snowpack on the ground just north of us, if not here, preferably here. So to get a sub-zero day and preserve the cold that comes out of the Arctic and is capable of producing a sub-zero, you've got to have reflective snow cover on the ground to the north of you. So what that indicates, I don't know what the snowpack was that year, but I would almost guarantee you that we had an unusually early snow season that year, and that much of the Midwest was covered with snow just north of us. And it's off that reflective snowpack. We say it's a high albedo surface. In other words, sunlight coming in is reflected back into space before it can warm the air next to the ground. And that preserves the chill and enables it to dump down on us and turn us sub-zero. If you watch, the first days that we get sub-zero temperatures in Chicago, there will have been a snowstorm that has gone through either our area or an area just north, up through Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. And at the point you put that snow down, here come the sub-zero days. And we've had decreasing numbers of them in recent years as the warming continues, but we still get them.
Tom, I got to ask you a question, and you're going to tell me it's way too early to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because you're Tom Skilling. What are our chances of getting snow on Christmas? Thank you.
I know. Well, here's what we're seeing, and it is too early to be real specific about it. We get model runs out that far, but we always say that the outer ranges of these model runs, time-wise, are in the fantasy range. But they give us an idea of general trends, and a couple of these models have been showing a weather system coming at us. Now, again, we're going to be close to the rain-snow line on that, but it happens as we approach those days up to Christmas. So let's see what happens. You know, historically, we have about a 40% chance of a white Christmas here. And a white Christmas is defined as a Christmas that has at least an inch of snow on the ground at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. We've expanded that in the office. Steve Kahn, one of our amazing climatological minds, actually went through the records and determined how many Christmases had an inch on the ground, even if it came later in the day. And the number is somewhat higher than the 40%. But that means 4 in 10 Christmases on average are white, 6 in 10 are not. So it's really the majority of them don't have snow on the ground, but there is something kind of, you know, as Bing Crosby saying about, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. There's something magic about that. There are no two ways about it in many people's minds.
So true. It's so true. Well, yeah. We'll wait and see what happens, and we get to check in with you again next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a better idea as we move along here, Anna. That's right. For sure.
Awesome, Tom. And I'm so happy you're doing well and you're healthy, and well, there's lots to be thankful for.
Right back at you, Anna. Mm-hmm. You sound wonderful. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and have a marvelous day.
You too, Tom. Thanks for the time. Tom Skilling, this afternoon on WGN.